You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 96 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dio Morales, and today I'm joined by Steven. Can't believe I'm actually on GSP Downs.
Hey, how's it going?
And William, take you to Jam Town. Hagwood.
Jam me up, Scotty.
Nice, nice. So today we have a packed show, and we're going to try to be as concise as possible. We're going to be covering the new article drop with all the spoilers from the Guardians of the Republic. We're going to be talking about the Wave 4 announcement, not all the way in depth, but just kind of touch on some things there. We're also going to be talking to Steven Downs about the NNXW Open, the Battle of Batuu. And we're also going to be trying something new here with a weekly list breakdown as well as a listener question of the week. But before we do all that, patrons, if you're a patron, I've been saying it, there is currently 120 of you who haven't updated your Patreon yet. You got to get it done so I can get you that swag in March, okay? And, you know, people who are not patrons, if you want some of the swag too, you go ahead. That's free. But I need to take care of the people who have been taking care of us. There's 120-ish of you that just haven't done it yet. Maybe you haven't seen my messages. Maybe you're like, I'll wait till later. Yes, the deadline is to the 28th of February. But the sooner you do it, the better I'll feel about it. Because because the thing is, the way it works right now is I don't have your address if you haven't updated. But it will still take money from your account. All you got to do is press some buttons. It's very fast. Link's in the description. And if you're watching live and you need that link, basically just go to patreon.com/GoldSquadronPodcast. Pick the tier that corresponds. You can go find the post. It's the second post from the top there that explains why you need to update and, you know, what's going on there. Very simple. And for your troubles, you'll get some bonus swag added to what I had already announced. So super excited about that. Now, with the announcement of all this bonus swag and all these things, we got a lot of people, a ton of people go, wait, you're doing what? I want that stuff. I'll become a patron. And I have a absolute laundry list of people that I need to read through. Gentlemen, I think I kind of trolled myself on this one when I started doing this, because this was bound to happen one day, right? Where there was just like a giant influx. And now I have to... Now I got to read a lot of names.
Well, good luck to you.
Played myself. Here we go. So I want to give a huge thank you to... Should I just do like first names maybe? No, I need to do the whole last... I got to do the whole thing. I can't cheap them out, right? I can't. I got to give them the full experience. Here we go. Thank you to... Lewis Breyers, Trevor Finley, Mitch Maddy, Jason McCard, Carson, didn't put a last name, Robert Crumlish, Joshua Gardner, Duke of Hobbies, Luke Cohen, Zachary Mertens, Lou the Lunatic, Nicholas Nilsson, David Phillips. By the way, if you're not interested in hearing this list, feel free to skip ahead in the podcast. Unless you're watching live and you're kind of stuck with this. Sorry, guys. Did I say Nicholas Nilsson? Well, I said it again, just in case. David Phillips, Wes Cargill, Zdenek Regitter, Joseph Torres, Mark Meyer, Sebastian Roaster, Buck Moore, Tim Grunberg, Daniel McDormitt, Alex Burwell, Matt Morsey, Liam Collins, Chris Allen, Marcus Silva, Fax 2, not Fax 1, by the way, Fax 2, Christian McLean, Alan Smith, Baron Mug, I almost call him Mugunbo. That's his name now. Mangubat is what it is, but he's not. He's going to be Mugunbo. Baron Mugunbo, Gary McDowell, Josh Slater, Christopher McCucumber, that's a great last name, McCucumber, Joshua Alfred, Donald Garcia, Mariano Barbuschio, Jeffrey Copper. I need a break. I need a water break. What, am I like halfway? Am I even halfway?
I'm almost there. I'm wondering how many of these names are real at a certain point.
Nick Antilles, Brian Serafin, Michael Gott, Manish Falheber, Brian Hall, Andrew Farron. Thank you to Jonathan Wheeler, Jesse McLeod, Belderin. Thank you to Micro Genovese, Cormac Higgins, Daniel Kidney, Blaine Franklin, Ethan Vincent, Joseph Weiss, Nicholas Mock, Robert Shears, AJ Wheaton, and Veronica Leonard. Thank you for your patronage. Love you guys. Thank you so much. Whew, I made it. I made it. We made it, gentlemen. Let's move on.
Good job.
Live streams, let's talk about those. So if you don't watch our live streams, what are you doing? We do so many. We are currently casting content for you guys minimum 4 times a week. We have league on Wednesdays, except this Wednesday, because I'm going on a Valentine's date one day early with my wife. We're going to go see a musical. Super excited about that. So there will be not any league. But don't worry, I will be streaming this Sunday our Wave Championship, so tune in for that. And if you haven't watched yet, every Monday and Thursday, we have the Gold Squadron Paintcast. Luke Carrington hosts that and does an awesome job hanging out and doing painting, talking about, you know, whatever you guys want to talk about. It's a really awesome just kind of hangout session, and you learn to paint at the same time. And I have to show this off. Yesterday's cast, he finished an entire ship. And if you guys don't know, these ships become prize support for our Gold Squadron live stream. So this ship is actually going to be given away for one of our event live streams. So he painted this awesome U-Wing. I'll go ahead, for those of you who are watching live, give you the close-up view. That thing is beautiful. I want to kiss that ship. It's so pretty. I know those of you who are listening in your cars, you're like, but Dion, I can't see. No worries. I'll put a link to the picture in the description. That way, you can take a look. But yeah, it's so pretty. Super excited to give that away to somebody. And yes, that is going to be to a patron, by the way. All these ships, they go to patrons. You guys take care of me and the cast and all the equipment and all that stuff. We take care of you. We get you the good. All right, let's jump into it. Guardians of the Republic. We got a spoiler with all the things, and we need to now go through all the things. Basically, our plan here is to go through the different pilots for both the V-19 Torrent and the Delta 7. We'll also talk about the new upgrades that we've seen, give some little commentary, and continue on our merrily way. So we'll go ahead and start here, and we'll go full pictures here so you guys can see those, if you who are watching at home. We'll go ahead and start with the V-19 Torrent. Steven, talk to me about the chassis of the V-19 Torrent, our actions, all that stuff.
All right. So the V-19 Torrent, it's a small base ship with 2 attack dice, 2 evade dice, and 5 hull. On the action bar, we've got focus, evade, target lock, and a barrel roll, which can link into a red evade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's go through some of these pilots. We start with an initiative 2 Gold Squadron Trooper, incoming alt art. Can you feel it? It's coming. And now we don't know anything about the, I guess we don't have anything confirmed about the upgrade bar, but from a picture like this, we're pretty sure it's a missile carrier. They did talk about it that way in the article, so we'll see. Yeah. Super excited about that. People pointing out that I spelled Guardian wrong in the title. That's fantastic. I'll fix that in a minute. Then we get to Initiative 2, Tucker. Will, tell me about Tucker.
Okay, Tucker, also Initiative 2, so flies great with those Gold Squadrons. But he is, his call sign is Blue 5. His ability says, after a friendly ship at range 1 to 2 performs an attack against an enemy ship in your front arc, you may perform a focus action. The timing of this is a little weird, but one thing I do like about it is that it's just when a friendly ship performs the attack. So even though Tucker's fairly low, If he is flying next to somebody who has high initiative and can shoot early in engagement, he can get that focus action for potentially defense early on. Action economy. And you just have to be looking at them. I think Tucker's pretty cool.
Yeah, he kind of wants to be in a formation, right? He wants to be close, maybe not too tight, but enough where you kind of have your guns all pointed the same way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the only problem, the only downside with this is that it is a focused action, so you can't do it while stressed or while you do the bear roll linked evade. Mm-hmm. But it sounds great for grabbing a target lock and staying alive until initiative two.
Yeah, I like it. All right, Steven, this is generic, it's boring. I'll give you something more exciting. Then we get the Blue Squadron Protector at initiative three, followed by Swoop. Take it away, Steven.
All right, Swoop, he's also initiative three. His subtitle is a Blue Six. After a friendly small or medium ship fully executes a speed 3-4 maneuver, if it is at range 0-1, it may perform a red boost action. So he gives boosts to friends as well as himself. It doesn't say once per turn either. So, I mean, if you have a whole bunch of these guys flying together, presumably they could all swoop, boost they, together. Too.
They could swoop in.
Ah. Yeah. Ah. It's like they planned it.
Good job. Good job, FFG. I fully approve of the... it's a very dad joke ability with the name. Like, I'm a fan of the dad joke, so we're cool there. Then we got Axe, also at initiative 3, blue 2. After you defend or perform an attack, you may choose a friendly ship at range 1-2 in your left or right arc. This is one that we did get a peek at early on. And I have to say here, before I continue, I absolutely love that we're starting to see some abilities that start to use that left and right arc areas. And it doesn't matter whether you can shoot out of those arcs, by the way. They just have to be there. I'll continue. You may choose a friendly ship at range 1-2 in your left or right arc. And if you do, transfer one green token to that ship. So being able to pass it off, for those of you who are familiar with Manaroo, it's a mini Manaroo. Look at that. But you get to do it at range 2. So we'll see. I don't know how popular this ship is going to be, but being able to pass around actions obviously is good. But you're limited to, obviously, your left and your right. So we'll see.
I don't like it because I'm used to Garvin. Garvin's when you spend a token.
Yep.
You can give it to somebody. This one you just have to have it. So I guess it's nice that it doesn't get wasted.
Yeah. Yeah, agree. I mean, I think so far from the ones we've read, it's the weakest one, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know if I would pay points for Axe, you know, over Swoop or even just the Blue Squadron Protector if you're looking for an initiative three.
I kind of like Swoop as a blocker.
Oh, I think Swoop is so cool. I'm a fan.
Forget what their dial is, but 4-4, then a boost. Sounds like a blocker to me.
All right, we'll continue. Kickback.
All right, this is initiative 4, kickback, blue 4. It says, after you perform a barrel roll action, you may perform a red target lock action. So just like his barrel roll to evade, this kickback can do barrel roll to target lock, which is great. More actions.
Yeah, more actions. And I mean, being able to have flexibility is good, especially if these guys are going to be some type of missile or torpedo platform. Having different ways to reposition and then also get that target lock sounds good to me. Go ahead. Take the next one, Steven.
All right. This last one we've got is Oddball. He's initiative 5, and he has the subtitle CC2237. So it's a callback to the show. After you fully execute a red maneuver or perform a red action, if there is an enemy ship in your bullseye arc, you may acquire a lock on that ship. So, I mean, he's at the I-5, which is where a lot of the, you know, ships are that we've been seeing, you know, with Redline, Whisper, Luke, Skywalker. I don't know. We've seen a lot of I-5s, so he's going to be in that pool. I'm sure there are people that are better at lining up Bullseye. I'm not very good at it, so I feel like I wouldn't get his ability off very often.
I think in a world where we start seeing more large base ships, Oddball is money. Oh, so much money, right? I'm gonna barrel roll, evade, and take a target lock. That's great. Maybe I can get a focus from somewhere else. Now, I like his ability. I think it could be super cool. I think it would be good. I think that's the last of those. Yes. So, so we've gone through the pilots. If you had to nail down one, like my favorite V-19 pilot is what, Will?
Probably Oddball. I like, even though it's Bullseye, I like getting target locks. Reminds me of a very successful munitions carrier.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Steven?
Well, I honestly like Swoop. I like that his ability can be, you know, transferred to a lot of ships. I think that makes it pretty cool for formation flying. But I don't know. You guys were not thrilled with Axe, but I kind of like the utilization of the side arc, just like with that Arc 170 we're seeing. So trying to keep a straight line formation side by side, I think is pretty neat. I want to try that out.
All right. I'm in love with Swoop. I'm excited to fly some Swoop. Next thing, we got confirmation on how purple actions work. And I do want to say, I called it. Okay? I called it. A purple action, you have to spend the force to do. Now, here is... I'm going to give my two cents, because one of the very first things I saw, the reaction was, oh my God, they're terrible. They're the worst. I'm like, now, let's pull it back. I think when I look at a purple action on an action bar, I don't look at, like, you can't evaluate it the same as a white action on the action bar. The purple action is one of those, like, hey, in a situation where you need it, it's available. The question will come is, how will FFG price it out? Because, like, if they have some type of equation, you know, X actions equal this many points, if they kind of look at it that way, they shouldn't rank it as a normal evade action, because it's just not as good, quote unquote, because you're having to give up that force economy as well. Is it just look at it as it's something that you have the opportunity to do if you need it. If you have multiple force tokens, having an evade and even just one other force left over is better than having two force tokens. So I think purple actions are good. I think they're going to be good. It's going to come down to, Will, you use this word a lot, resource management with those. I don't think you can't just be doing purple actions all over the place.
No, that's the we're about to get into them. But yes, it is a modifier, but it's tapping into those resources. I do think to me, the purple evade, super balanced. I think the white evade of the V1 was keeping its price too high. And honestly, if you have multiple force, even just two force, we're looking at Plo Koon here right on the on our screen. You spend one force for the evade, and then you still have another force modifier for defense there. So you can modify a blank and an eyeball result. Mm-hmm. That still sounds good to me.
Absolutely. And yeah, we're gonna touch on all these Jedi here in a minute and get into some discussion. I do see some questions there in the chat. So let's dig into it. The Delta 7 pilots. So we start with an Initiative 3 Jedi Knight. The chassis itself has two attack dice, three evade, three hull, one shield. And this Jedi Knight has a single force. Actions are white focus, purple evade, and the rest of the actions are white. You have target lock, barrel roll, and boost. Very maneuverable ship. Has the fine-tuned ship ability. It says after you fully execute a maneuver, you may spend one force to perform a boost or barrel roll action. Again, leaning on that force, giving you options. And we'll get. I have some things I want to point out, but we'll wait to the end. We'll continue looking at our pilots here. Go ahead, take this one, Will.
All right, this is. I'm gonna struggle now.
Sacy Teen, I think, is how you would pronounce it.
Sacy Teen.
I would say Sacy Teen. What?
I always heard it as Sassy Tin, but
Sassy Tin. Close enough.
Yeah, I'm a Jedi.
All right, this sassy over here. Let's see. So this is an initiative 4. With 2 force charges, it has the ability, after a friendly ship at range 0 to 2 reveals its dial, you may spend 1 force charge. If you do, set its dial to another maneuver of the same speed and difficulty. So if you're doing a left hard 2, the Sassy Tin can make it a right hard 2. If I said 2 different ones there.
No, you got it.
Okay. This is very interesting. I really like how it's not tied to her. It's tied to the person doing the maneuver when they would do it. So if you, depending on their initiative, you can see how the board works. I do think it's funny to think about, like, she goes first and she's like, no, don't run into me. And tells them to do a different maneuver,
yeah.
so they don't get blocked by her. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, and I think, go ahead.
The only thing I think is super cool, could be useful. I hate that it costs a force charge, though.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, here's the thing, and I think this is as good a time as any to bring up my thoughts about this ship. I think you have to kind of go into it understanding that you're not going to be able to use their fine-tuned controls, you know, the purple evade, a force upgrade, and their ability. You're not going to do that every turn. And I know some people are looking at it and be like, man, I want to be able to do all these things. Look at all my options. I want to do them all. You can't. This is going to come down to that force economy. And that's why I wonder I'm hoping that these ships are costed less, like the premium for the force is less on these because of how quote unquote force starved they're going to be if you're using it every turn for these abilities. And that is not even considering the fact that you can still use it as modifiers, but if you're using it for all this other stuff, you might not even have it at the end. So I'm kind of hoping that FFG prices them down. We'll see. All right, Steven, the controversy. Take it away.
Oh, boy. Okay. Is he I-4, I-5? Who knows?
We don't know.
We know now. They updated it. So this is Mace Windu. He is officially Initiative 4, even though the English article said he was I-5. Yeah. Yeah, so there's the what's the Polish?
Yeah. So here's the card in English, but yeah, it's going to be I-4.
Right. So he has the 3 force charges instead of 2, like Sassy Tin or however you say it. And for his ability, after you fully execute a red maneuver, recover 1 force charge. I feel like that he's like the only one that would really be able to pull off the fine-tuned controls a bunch, especially with some of the upgrades we'll see later, you know, doing a red maneuver, still doing a fine-tuned control action and then a regular action. But that's just because his ability doesn't cost force. It's going to give him force.
Oh, I didn't get to finish trolling Mace Windu. You finished talking. There we go. I'm just going to finish anyway. We do not grant you the rank of master. Yeah, I agree. Being able to recycle that force is fantastic, right? Like, it's just good. How much is the I-4 going to hurt him, though, Will? What do you think?
It's going to be interesting because it's a balance of Mace Windu should normally have more modifiers than the equivalent Initiative 5s, though he has less knowledge of board state. I don't think it's going to matter too much between 4 and 5, because I think Mace Windu is probably the most aggressive one of pilots for this ship, because he can get so much force usage. And think he's probably the only one that's going to be doing red maneuvers on this thing anyways. Yeah. The red moves are 2 sloops, 3 and 5K? 4 and 5K? I know they have a 5K. That's for sure. Because that's all I see this guy doing. You come in hot for the shot, and oh, you're trying to sneak it in there. You come in hot for the shot. Maybe you did use a force to boost. Yeah, I can see it here. We got a 4 and 5K turn and then 2 sloops. So like I said, I imagine him coming in hot, maybe 5 forward, focus boost or target lock boost, and then do as much as you can, hit that 5K, get all 3 of your charges back, because you get 1 at the end of the round, 1 when you execute the red maneuver, and then 1 at the end of the round while you're still sitting there stressed. So then you could basically de-stress yourself, come back in with full force charges. I don't think that Mace Windu is going to be the dodgy person. You're going to want a little bit higher initiative. I think he's just going to be great as just a brawler out there.
Mm-hmm. So do you think he's going to be a good candidate for the config where you get that 3 attack dice, or are we going to want to keep that agility up? What do you think?
I'd say slap the config on him.
Well, they're both configurations. So the 3 attack dice or the bullseye?
The 3 attack dice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because these are, I don't know. I don't see him as flying fancy. I see him coming in there trying to shoot 4 attack dice with a target lock and a bunch of force and just trying to get as much as possible. You're simply just not going to be able to outfly a lot of ships at initiative 4. So.
Yeah,
sounds good. Yeah.
Alrighty, then we move on here to Plo Koon, one of my favorite Jedi. There is no Kit Fisto in this. Do we know if he's in the individual pack?
I believe him, Ahsoka, and Anakin are in the other pack.
It better be. Jeez. I'm going to boycott this game. I'm done. Gold Squadron podcast. We're done. We're over. It's over. Love me some Kit Fisto. Anyway, not talking about him. Talking about his... I kind of look at these two as brothers. Plo Koon, anyway. The Serene Mentor. Initiative 5, at the start of the engagement phase, you may spend 1 force charge and choose another friendly ship at range 0 to 2. If you do, you may transfer 1 green token to it or transfer 1 orange token from it to yourself. So he's like, homies, I will take, give me your stress, not your stress, actually your jam. Give me your jam, give me your... campfire tokens, your... What else is orange?
Tractor.
There you go.
Which is probably the most interesting thing, because if Plo Koon takes the tractor, he's the one initiating the token, so you get to tractor beam yourself.
Boom. I'm going to barrel roll over here. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a double barrel roll. It's a double boost. You do some pretty interesting things.
Steven, there's no Kit Fisto in the other one?
No, sorry, I was looking at the spread. I didn't want to interrupt, but no, it's looking like it's just Anakin, Luminara, Barriss, Ahsoka, and then the Jedi Knight. So, sorry, maybe with the Ada 2 from Episode 3, we'll get a Kit Fisto.
All right, man. Dang it, FFG. Anyway, I mean, I'm not entirely sure how interesting this this ability. I mean, how useful is it? Or is it just, do I have an I5 force user? Because, I mean, you're not... There's no way to get yourself orange tokens. Like, I'm just... I'm just not sure how much utility the ability has.
I could see it, like Plo Koon came in, but everybody ignored him, and they all turned in towards one of those torrents or something. And Plo Koon's like, "No, no, I'll help save you," and he slings him an evade token from range two.
Yeah, or I guess maybe taking the disarms. Can the V19s reload? They can't reload, right?
For some reason, they have saturation salvo on them, but we just looked at them. They didn't have reload on their action bar. Though, you never know what...
some upgrade card or something like that?
I think we've seen them all already, but... yeah.
We'll see.
Maybe a one-time slam or something? I have no idea.
We'll never know. And last but not least, take it away, Steven.
Okay, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Guardian of the Republic. I still think it's a shame it wasn't... I had a bunch of different... the Great Negotiator, right? Guardian of the Republic is very generic.
I just wanted them to put hello there.
That's it. Yeah,
that's
right?
Just...
Owner of the High Ground. Okay. After a friendly ship at range 0 to 2 spends a focus token, you may spend one force. If you do, that ship gains one focus token. Yeah, I love that. It basically just makes every one of his force charges a focus token for himself, you know, so you're not going to want to take the purple evade with him, I don't think, at least. Besides that, I don't know, the utility of giving other ships or keeping them having the focus token kind of works well with who's that guy that gives the focus to someone else? Axe, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of works as a combo there, but I don't know how great that is.
Yeah, I like Obi-Wan. I think the fact that it's a friendly ship at 0 to 2, which means itself, it doesn't say another friendly ship. You know, it gives you some shenanigans that you can do there. I like that. Will, what are your thoughts?
This is an interesting support. It's weird, especially with we just looked at it. Plo Koon.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to me that the Initiative 5s in this pack have support abilities, whereas you normally traditionally think of the Initiative 5s as like the offensive or like arc dodgy aces, right. But these have support abilities. Though, I mean, Obi-Wan can support himself in theory, so that is very interesting to me. I mean... I think we can all agree that one force charge is worth one focus token.
Oh, yeah. All day.
Right? Yeah, I mean, Vader, that was the main draw of Darth Vader, is that he basically just did an action and then spent a force charge to get a focus token. And here, Obi-Wan's kind of doing the same thing. The problem is this the last one before...
Yeah.
Okay. So let me have a discussion with you real quick about the force economies with these things.
Yeah.
So in essence, this Obi-Wan, just to boost and focus, he's spending a charge. To get a second charge or to get a second focus, he's spending his second force charge. Mm-hmm. He does have three, but he's going to get, very quickly drained down on force. Dion, do you have a strategy to keep force charges up on these ships?
I think you got to limit yourself to one per turn until you have that turn. You know what I mean? Like, I think you can only really trigger one of these force abilities per turn. You got to pick your spots. And when you have that turn where you're going to be able to make something happen, that big uppercut in a game, that's when you go all out. Because if you're just spending the force willy-nilly, you're going to die. You're just going to be an A-Wing-esque ship that doesn't have anything, a really expensive A-Wing, we'll put it that way. I mean, that's the strategy. Strategy is you got to be smart with that force economy. And I think it comes down to what I said earlier is you're not going to be able to do all of the, you're not going to be able to use all the toys on these every turn. And I think initially a lot of people are looking at it going, oh, but I could do X and Y and Z. I'm like, sure, you could probably do that one turn per game, all the shenanigans, maybe two if it's a long game. I mean, that's where I'm sitting.
The only thing I can say, like, I fully agree with you. And I think that I didn't know where you're going with that for a second. For the force users that have more than two, so I think just Plo Koon and, or excuse me, just Mace Windu and Obi-Wan in this expansion. What I do like about them is that you can do that after you fully execute a maneuver. You can spend a force charge to perform a boost or barrel roll action. So that will definitely help them out. Oh, shoot. I guess I thought that was like Vader's ability, that you could do that more than once. Nope, it just says after you fully execute a maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
So that only triggers once then. Oof. So you actually can't get three actions there. Obi-Wan can't double reposition and get an action.
Right.
Can double reposition, though. Well, I guess no. You have the Force. That's always a modifier right there.
True.
So these things are going to be fine. You got the Force.
Turns out we're okay. We're going to be okay. Yeah, I think, you know, the at least the initial use, I think a lot of people are going to be leaning on these three Force users, the ones that have the three Force. So you got Obi-Wan, you got Plo Koon, and you have Mace Windu, because that's where you're going to be able to do the majority of the shenanigans. And people want to do the shenanigans, right? People want to have that Force available. So, you know, just looking at these ships really quickly, if you had to choose one, what do you think? Obviously, we don't know any points. What would you put on the table? Like, if you had to fly one now, an entire squadron of, what would it be, Steven?
From the guys that we've seen, I'm really torn. I really like Mace Windu. The initiative is, it makes it less likely to play, but I also fly Lieutenant Kestall and she's I-4. So
sure.
I'd probably go with Obi-Wan. I think his ability is probably the most useful in a general sense of, if you're flying a swarm of munitions carriers, if they have a target lock and they need to spend their focus, they can get it back for defense if they're going to be in trouble, you know, in that range 0 to 2. That's not in arc or anything. That's just in a bubble too. So that's, I think that's probably the one I would want to go with.
All right. Speculation time. If those of you who are watching at home, you see what I've drawn on the screen on the right side, you'll notice that the shot in the picture shows Jango Fett. It's that the scene from The Attack of the Clones. Spoilers, guys. Jango Fett chases Obi-Wan through a asteroid field. Do you think we'd end up with a Jango Fett pilot for the Separatists ever?
I'm not sure. I will say that I do not believe they have a medium-based ship yet.
That's what I'm saying.
We know that the Infiltrator, the Sith Infiltrator, is a large base. So there's room for it. I could see it in that faction. Darth Maul and Jango flying next to each other.
That's what I'm saying. Like, because if they put Darth Maul in, which, like, in the movies, right, in the canon, he wasn't actually part, he wasn't really part of the Separatists or the Grand Republic. He was just working for Sidious. So, like, they, like, oh, I guess he's part of, like, the quote-unquote bad guys of that era, so we'll put him in the Separatists. So, I mean, I think Jango would slot in there. I think he meets the criteria. All right. Somebody's saying, what about Kindergarten Boba? I want Kindergarten Boba. Kindergarten Boba crew. Or Gunner. Gunner. There you go. All right.
Yeah, I like that.
So, right. I mean, going off of that, I mean, we do see that we have a spoilers, the kindergarten Anakin later on, right? So kindergarten Boba is not out of the question. But there are other pilots that fly the I don't know if it's Slave One at that point still or not, in the Clone Wars. You know, I think we have Aura Singh that flies it. And so there's precedent for more characters in there, and I'm sure we could think of others.
Yeah, I'm in. I'm all about it. All right, let's keep moving here. Let's move on to some upgrade cards. Upgrade cards. This is people like themselves some upgrade cards. So most of these are Republic only. There's a couple that are not, and we'll talk about those when we get there. We'll start here with Dedicated. It is an elite card, and it says, while another friendly ship in your left or right arc at range 0 to 2 defends, if it is limited or has a dedicated upgrade and you are not strained, you may gain one strain token. And if you do, the defender rolls one of their re-rolls one of their blank results. So just adding that defense to your formation flying ships. And, you know, so one thing important to note here, it does say, I guess they covered it. Never mind. There's no reason to even comment on that. And it does have to be put on a non-limited ship. Okay? That's important. It's Republic and non-limited. So they have to be on generics only. But this helps Jedi, okay? Because it says if it's a limited or it has dedicated. So anybody else who's feeling dedicated or is a Jedi can benefit from this ability. So this is that faction descriptor card that every faction has. They've all been around 1 to 2 points. Where do you think this one sits?
I think this is a solid one-pointer. It provides just a reroll, and you have to take a pretty major penalty of a strain token. Though, the more I think, I love the theme of it, by the way, the dedicated troopers. And I think that while I'm not normally crazy about rerolls on defense, when we're talking about 4 health, 3 agility ships, they're going to want a reroll or two. What I really like is the idea of a dedicated mini swarm protecting your ace and just handing out strain tokens left and right. Get them all dedicated up.
We're so dedicated. Put it on my back.
I mean, think about like the Obi-Wan we just talked about and as many dedicateds as possible. He almost had, well, he's got 4 possible focus tokens. And then we can count him, I'll say 4, maybe 5 dedicated ships with him. That's a lot of defensive modifications for Obi-Wan.
That is. Yeah, because each of these cards would activate separately on different ships that had it. So you'd be able to reroll 3 if you needed to. Pretty cool. Of course, the limit of having it in the side arcs is going to control how you fly. It is weird, but I like that it's something new. I really think it's super cool.
No, you never I imagine a very specific scene, and there's like an arc, and there's the Obi-Wan and Anakin, and they're all flying like side by side, right? Like in a line.
Yeah.
And I like kind of like that how TIE Swarms have the block, Drea has kind of just all over the place for scum. I like how this has like we are side by side.
Yep. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I would say 1 point for this just because you want to have multiple ships with it, and if you're jamming in 2-point talents on a whole bunch of ships, that's going to get expensive real fast too.
Agreed. Yeah. I'm at the 1 point. So that's our guess there. All right. Will.
Oh, let me
battle meditation. Take it.
Yes. It's a Republic only force upgrade. It gives a purple coordinate on your action bar. It says you cannot coordinate limited ships. ships with names or dots. While you perform a purple coordinate action, you may coordinate one additional friendly non-limited ship of the same type. Both ships must perform the same action. So, quick example, I have your Obi-Wan, and he coordinates for some reason to, I know, bad example, but he does it for some reason, and he coordinates two torrents next to him. And then both of those can take bearer roles, but they would have to be both non-limited. We're talking blues and golds out there, and they had to both perform the same action. Very similar to Hux, but now all that's great. Double coordinate, fantastic. Costs a force point and an action, whatever. A little limiting on the non-limited part of that, because you can't be coordinating other Jedis. Except, Dion, let me walk you through my mental train on this.
Uh-oh. All right. Bring it.
I want four, what is the generics called? Jedi Sentinels?
Jedi Knight?
Knights, yes. Yeah. I think it works on three, but maybe four would be better. Imagine three battle meditation Jedi Knights. The first one moves. He purple coordinates the other two ships. Do you know what action he forces them to do with his coordinate? He makes them also battle meditate.
There's so much meditation. Everybody, all the actions.
Yeah, so yeah, he meditates into two ships who then also meditate into the other two ships. So it creates essentially six actions. So everyone gets focus target lock instantly, like that. And then the other two get to move and take actions. What do you think about this? What do you think about the battle meditation knights?
I'm in.
Doesn't that sound crazy?
That sounds awesome. That sounds fantastic. I love it.
I know. Man, if you can get four of those battle meditation knights in a list, that's going to cause some serious shenanigans.
I like it. And you have that 0 to 2 range, so you're not stuck in a block. You know, you have some options there. Ah, man.
Especially once you start coordinating bearer roles so that they're now within range of another ship who also got battlement. Oh, no. I love it. We'll see how it functions outside of the very weirdly coordinating Jedi Knights, but I think it has some real potential to get some efficiency out of those torrents and even arcs.
And then, you know, what about the idea of just having a single Jedi Knight with this card, right? Because we know coordinate's good, right? Which, by the way, if you haven't watched our quick tips on coordinate, you should do that. Came out today. Shameless self-promotion. But you're watching the show.
It's not shameless. It's just a plug at that point.
So just a single, depending on the price point, of course, maybe there's some value there where you can have this thing zipping around. Or here's an idea, right? So we want focus target lock. We know that's really good. If you take a Jedi Knight with battle meditation and you take a couple V19 torrents, the Blue Squadron's also at initiative 3, and they have their missiles, and you're getting them target locks and focuses. You know, they can have multiple actions. That seems like that could be good. Of course, all things price point depending, but that's something I'm looking at there.
This is a question I have on this. We recently saw a squad leader become points
variable point cost. Yes.
Point cost.
Get out of my mind, my man. You got it. Yes. Keep going.
Is battle meditation a candidate for that?
Yes, it should be. Absolutely.
Should be, right?
Yes.
Because it's much Anakin's battle meditation is much different than a Jedi Knight's.
Oh, yeah. What do you think, Steven?
Yeah, I completely agree with the, swarm. I always mix them up. Swarm tactics is the coordinate one, right?
Swarm leader.
Squad leader. There you go.
Squad leader. Okay. Yeah. So I could see it being initiative variable, I mean, possibly even force charge variable, though. I mean, it hurts you less if you have 3 force charges versus the 1, right? I don't know. There could be something there, too.
Good point. I mean, the thing with the variable point cost, they can vary it on whatever they feel like it. So that's definitely an awesome option. All right, so let's keep going here. So R4P Astromech. Steven.
Let's see. There it is. Okay, R4P Astromech. It has 2 charges. Before you execute a basic maneuver, you may spend 1 charge. If you do, while you execute that maneuver, reduce its difficulty. So, kind of like a R4 Astromech that extends to other maneuvers beyond just 1 to 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's charge based, right? So it's probably you think it's going to be cheaper. I know it's more flexible, right? Because you have your whole dial. But almost. I mean, 2-3 points.
I'm feeling about 2 points on this as well. Maybe 3. Actually, I think it has a little bit more utility than a standard R4.
All right.
Yeah, because it could turn your. Let's see what's
and,
red on.
And remember, they can go on the arcs too, because the arcs have astromechs.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So that I think it's going to help that ship
turns
more
on the arc.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to help that ship more than it's going to help the Delta 7.
Yeah, I'm the main thing I'm looking at is like 4 forwards and even 5 forwards, really, really opening it up for your dial to clear stress real fast. I think that has much more value over just a hard turn 2.
Yeah, agree. Alrighty, R4P17. This is Obi's droid. After you fully execute a red maneuver, you may spend 1 charge to perform an action, even while stressed. So, actions are good. Actions, when they're red, are good too. Only 2 charges on this. Still a Republic-only droid. We haven't gotten to anything that's open yet. I mean, I think this droid is... I think it's kind of like it's kind of an obvious card. Like, hey, you can do an action 2 times after K-turning or slooping. But my feeling going into it is probably going to be more expensive than it needs to be on the initial engage. And I think I would rather have the R4P Astromech over R4P17, even out of the get-go, even if they were the same price. I think I'm looking more at the R4P. What do you think, Will?
You mentioned that it's Obi-Wan's droid, which is interesting because I hadn't thought about that. Well, I knew that it was his droid, but I hadn't thought about actually using it on him so he can K-turn or sloop and still do his focus shenanigans. I think it's really great on... Samuel L. Jackson. What is this character's name?
Mace Windu.
Oh, okay. Mace. I kept thinking Maul for some reason. Mace. I lost Duo. It's going to be phenomenal on Mace. That's probably where I assume you're going to see it most of the time, because both of them trigger off of doing red maneuvers. And yeah, I just don't... I'm not excited for it. I don't think it's a game changer. It's going to have to be like reasonably priced to see play. Because I think that we're starting to get pretty crowded with our Astromax now.
Yeah, because there's still all the generic ones that we've already have that are still available for these to use as well. All righty, the spare parts canisters. Take it, Steven.
Okay, spare parts canisters. This is a modification that requires you to have an Astromech equipped. It has 1 charge, and there are 2 separate actions on this. The first one, you can spend a charge to recover one charge on one of your equipped astromech upgrades. Alternatively, you can spend that charge to drop a spare parts. Just says drop one spare parts. Okay.
Yeah, it's that then, like that trash token yeah. that we see in the spread.
Then break all locks assigned to you. So it seems good. It's thematic. Almost reminds me of the old black one on Poe, though. I mean, I'm thinking Poe Dameron wants this more than the Delta Sevens.
And that's the thing, right? This is that card I was trying to allude to earlier. Is it all you have to do is have an astromech. So this means any ship across the entire game has access to this. I think that's this is one of those cards that I think over time will pop up in and out as we get different abilities. And different astromechs that are really good.
There are a lot of charge-based astromechs. All the helium droids, a lot of the resistance droids have charges on them. Even Dengar's droid has charges as well. So the potential for this card is extraordinary. And I'm going to expect a pretty hefty price point for it, to be honest with you.
Agreed. I think it does need to be expensive. And if it's not, time to start equipping it.
If this card is under 6 points, they're going to sell a lot of expansions.
Just take them off the shelf. All right. So that's everything that we know that is in the Guardians of the Republic squad pack. That's not everything for the Republic, but just out of that pack. That's pretty awesome. I mean, I love going through those. We are on the cusp of getting something new, and we'll see what happens. And speaking of new things, we're going to do a really quick touch on the Wave 4 announcement that they made. Yes, Wave 4 is coming, and it's a massive wave. And that was one of the first things I've seen a lot of people say. Oh, it's huge. How I can't afford this. So you got to remember that FFG has a couple things to do. They need to get newer players caught up. And also, for if you're a budget-constricted player, I want you to play the game. And the best way to do that is to stick with a single faction. So don't feel pressure to buy everything. You don't have to. We'll just kind of quickly go through the re-releases. So the people who have just started playing in second edition, these ships are going to be available for you to buy. We start with the Millennium Falcon. The B-Wing, which is beautiful, by the way. I love that paint job. Super cool. The Decimator, which doesn't... a lot of people were joking. It doesn't get a turret. It's supposed to have a turret on there. The TIE SF and the TIE Silencer. Yep. And for those of you who don't know, I guess I'll just go through this really quickly. This is the Rebel Falcon, the Rebel B-Wing, the Imperial Decimator, the First Order TIE SF, and the First Order Resculpt of the TIE Silencer. And people did some size comparisons. This guy's significantly smaller than the first edition version. And it fits in the small base pack now. They don't have to put it in a box. Then the new stuff. Now, I saw a lot of people were surprised when this ship was put into the game. Like, well, why would that be in the game? I said since the beginning, hey, it has a gun on it. It needs to be in the game. So this is a resistance. What do they call it? What's the technical name for this one, guys?
I believe it's transport.
Just transport.
Not very fancy, but, you know.
Resistance transport. I mean, we have the escape craft, right, for scum. So makes sense.
Fair.
call it like it is. There's supposedly some shenanigans where, like, it has two dials, so it, like, has a undocking ship or something, some type of mechanic where you're going to get a second flyable thing out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the front part, the cockpit comes out of it and mm-hmm. actually flies around, which I am a little bit more interested, to be honest with you. that it is two different ships. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Then we have a new Separatist ship. Steven, what is this thing called?
Hi, sorry. This is the Hyena droid bomber.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. The stat line is a small base ship, two attack, two evade, five hull. Can do calculate, target lock, a barrel roll linked into red target lock, and then a red reload. And it also has the networked calculations ship ability, just like the Vulture Droid. So it pairs pretty well with them.
There we go. So another droid option there for the Separatists. And then my favorite, I'm gonna buy like 10 of these. I'm so excited. The N1, the Naboo Starfighter, guys. Annie is in it. He's gonna, oh my God. They have to do something with barrel roll, right? Like, they have to. If they don't, that's such a huge missed opportunity.
Do you think he's going to be a force user, little Lanny?
Yes. One charge.
One charge?
One charge.
Yeah. I want to just be, after you barrel roll, spend a force charge to barrel roll.
Yes. Yes.
It'd be amazing.
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm so in. Oh, little Annie.
Little Annie spinning around.
And here's the thing. I will personally send a letter to Frank Brooks, okay, if this doesn't have barrel roll. And I'll tell you why. At Gen Con, before the release...
It definitely does have a barrel roll, by the way.
Right, okay. But I mean, if Anakin doesn't have some type of barrel roll shenanigans...
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, when I talked to him at Gen Con, and they spoiled that this was happening, okay? I had an interview with him, and in the interview, which you can go back in our YouTube archives and watch, he specifically says... Like, I'm super excited for the prequel stuff because prequel memes. Like, he points out the prequel memes, and if he doesn't do something with barrel roll, I'm just saying, Frank Brooks, look at me, brother. I hope you didn't mess this up. Just saying. Super excited, N1. Little tiny ship. I'm expecting it to be fairly cheap. Nice little... swarm going on. So, you know, those are all the ships. Now, let's talk. 2 minutes. The deluxe movement tools and range rulers. Now, you guys know that I'm a fairly positive person, like 98% to 2% positive for most things, even in crappy situations. I hate these. And no, it's not because I'm sponsored with my streams, with, you know, acrylic, big acrylic, curl paw, all that. It has nothing to do with that, maybe a little bit. But, like, the play functionality of these templates are super suspect. I'm going to do, like, a separate video about just these templates. But FFG, they're releasing their own templates. I'm hoping that doesn't mean... That and here's right. You have to ask this question. Does this mean that FFG is saying, "Hey, look, we have another option for you. You can no longer use third party templates." Like, that would be really crappy. I think that would upset a lot of people. But yeah, I don't like them. They're really thick. For train tracks, that's going to be like when you're trying to line up a bump. That just looks like a nightmare. And I think they're super ugly. As well. So I'll leave that alone. That is That is the Wave 4 rundown. We'll break that down some more at a later date. Now, real quick, Steve from Cascade Games wanted me to give a shout out to the X-Wing community really quickly, saying thank you for everybody who has come out to the system opens. Super excited. Phoenix was a huge success. We got Toronto coming up, Adepticon. Now, one thing he's asking is if you are available to work for the upcoming system opens, to please do that. They're short-staffed. And if they're short-staffed, that's going to affect our gameplay. So if you're available and you can't play for whatever reason, like let's say you can't afford the event ticket, especially there's some people, if you've never been to Adepticon, this is a great opportunity to get into Adepticon for free. Yeah, you're gonna be working and judging and things, but hey, You know, free entry. You get to roam around when you have the time, and you get to hang out with everybody. Hit them up. Go to their website, cascadegames.com. There's an application there. And if you have any questions, you can also reach out to them on Facebook. Shoot them an email. You can go ahead and give that done. All righty. Let's go ahead and talk about this, Mr. Steven. What is going on? What's happening here in the next few months?
Okay, so this is a project that our local group has been working on for a few months now, more longer than that. Anyways, this is the Northern Nevada X-Wing 2019 Open titled Battle for Batuu. And so just, I don't know if everyone knows, Batuu is the location of the where the Star Wars land is going in Disneyland and Walt Disney World. So I was just throwing that call out there. This is our second annual major event. We tried to put our own on since we weren't getting the attention from FFG. And so we're like, you know what, we'll just put our own regional event on. And this year we're calling it the Open, and it's got tons of prizes, tons of, lots of X-Wing to play. And we're also supporting a local charity too. So there's really a lot of good reasons to be playing. I mean, if you're in it for the loot, if you're in it for the charity stuff, it's all going to be awesome. All right, so the date is April 20th, and we are holding it here in Reno, Nevada. It's in Northern Nevada, I mean, hence the name. And let's see, it's going to be at the Encompass Academy. That's the charity we're sponsoring as well, which is a school that is dedicated to helping students that have a hard time learning, or maybe need to learn in different methods than the main classroom method. So the school helps support all sorts of kids. And so we'll be bringing in, we've got $5 raffle tickets for a whole bunch of different prizes. And we're trying to put together some 2.0 blisters by piecing out like conversion kits and stuff. So
yeah,
there's really good, good perks for getting some raffle tickets, and all the proceeds are going towards the donation. I mean, we're grateful that they are letting us use their campus as a venue for the event this year.
And yeah, when you reached out to me and said, "Hey, Dion, we're doing this thing. Can I talk about it?" And I was like, "Well, what's it? What it's about, Steven? I know that you like the podcast and stuff like that, but why should I care?" And the fact that you guys are raising money for education, myself as an educator, I'm a fan, huge fan. And being anytime people are taking X-Wing and then putting that together with a good cause, I'm all for it. So if you are in the area, or if you can get to the area, I would highly suggest go hang out. Unfortunately, I'm not available. I was like, when he told me about it, I was like, "Oh, let me check my schedule. When's the date?" And he's like, "April 20th. I'm like, that's the weekend of my daughter's birthday. Can't do that. So I can't be there, but maybe you can. And so I would go ahead, hit up the website. And you guys are like doing like t-shirts and the other kind of custom prizes and stuff too, right?
Oh yeah. So we have a whole slew of custom prizes just for if you sign up and participate on the day, you show up and pay that day, you'll still get two alt art pilot cards plus an alt art upgrade card, as well as six customized Northern Nevada acrylic shield tokens. Cool. That are being made specifically for this event. A lot of the art that we've got is coming from some local artists too. Pre-registration gets you even more alt art cards. And we've got a t-shirt that's being made just for the event. I mean, you have to sign up by March 20th, and then you'll have the chance to like order it. And then all the top prizes too. So aside from the shield tokens and the participation prizes, alt art cards, we have stuff for top 32, top 16, and so on. And the perks vary from extra alt art cards to templates to even I've been 3D modeling a damage deck and token holder for tourney trays. And so we're really trying to push a lot of the local artists to come up with stuff for the prizes and trying to make it as welcoming to everyone as we can. It will be extended format, but the idea that, I mean, $20 entry to get you 5 to 10, you know, custom arts and acrylics and things that we are pairing with Curled Paw too. So Andrew is helping us out with getting those things made. And yeah, we just wanted to make sure we can provide to everyone participating and not just cater to the top players.
That's awesome. So I'm going to go ahead and the link is somewhere here.
Website is nnxwing.com.
Yeah.
And you should be able to find, we've got a big banner for the event at the top.
Yep. nnxwing.com. So then that's for Northern Nevada, right? That's how that
exactly.
Is. Yeah. So yeah. That's and if awesome. Anyone had,
if anyone has questions or wants to know anything about lodging or travel tips or anything, feel free to join the group, Facebook group. I'm one of the admins there, so I can help out with answering questions you might have. And I will also be streaming this event as well. So
boom,
there that's my job.
There you go. So I'll be doing the birthday party thing, but we are going to be hosting their stream. So you can go ahead, tune in, have a good time, or go play. Go play. That's even better. All right. So we're going to we're going to kind of try this new thing here, and that is the list of the week. This was going to be Marcel and Will's kind of little segment to help out some people, because I'll be completely honest, like, I think I'm okay at list building, but I think they're better. Like, it's okay to admit when you know people are better than you. That's why I can't do this show by myself, okay? So the list of the week is given to us by Danny Payne. It's an extended list, and he says, I'm trying to be able to tank with Han on rocks and strip tokens and then use mining ties to fire through the rocks and clean up. I haven't tried this out on the board yet. Let me know what you think. Will, take it away.
All right, well, you're not showing the list on the screen, but oh, I have sorry. It here in I, my I, notes there.
It kicked anyway, back so, to me.
So let's I'm going to wait just a moment. Are you gonna pull it
yeah,
up?
Yeah, I'm going to pull it up. Sorry, it...
No, yeah, this, no worries. I know what you're doing there. You're looking up the Jedi dial.
Yep. I ruined it. I was trying to help you earlier, and I ruined everything. There we go.
All right, well, I have the list pulled up as well, but so I've taken a look at it here. So it starts with the combination of Han Solo and Lando's Millennium Falcon with a escape craft, the Outer Rim Pioneer. In addition to that, you have Ahav and Captain Sivor, probably the best two TIE fighters, also with Trick Shot. Actually, I have a lot of experience with this list archetype, which is basically trying to use the Outer Rim Pioneer to turn mining guild TIE fighters into tiny little dashes out on the board. Because with Outer Rim Pioneer, if you can click on it, and so it shows the ability. Friendly ships at range 0 to 1 can perform attacks at range 0 of obstacles. So because the mining guild's TIE fighters completely ignore them while moving, the Pioneer also helps them out to shoot on top of asteroids as well. So they totally ignore it, which is super funny. It's also, Ahav has a potential 5-dice attack at range 1. If he's shooting, 2 for normal, 3 for range, 4 for trick shot, and 5 if they're a large base or not, or larger than small base. So I do love the Sivor and Ahav with the Outer Rim Pioneer. But let's break down what else he's got here. So he's got, I assume he's docking the escape craft into Han at first, because the escape crafts are fairly slow and the mining guild's are pretty quick. So you got to actually use the YT-1300 to keep up with them. So you eventually get it docked in. He's got a... Well, I guess he's got upgrades on the Pioneer as well. He's got Tobias Beckett and a shield upgrade. Shield upgrade, obviously, it's pretty obvious. Tobias Beckett, moving rocks around, because you want to have those rocks in very specific locations for your Han and your Sivor. So let's break down what Han Solo has. He's got Trick Shot, Lando's Millennium Falcon Tidal. Those are pretty standard upgrades, I would say. Also has Perceptive Co-Pilot, gives you two focuses. You got Proton Rockets that lets you use a focus to shoot out your bullseye. Potential six dice attack using Trick Shot. Also has Hotshot Gunner. Lets you strip, makes them use a focus token or a calculate after they defend. Then also a shield upgrade. And then most interesting thing here is Lando Calrissian. Lando lets you spend a green token for a reroll. Reroll up to two of your results. So he pairs really great with that Perceptive Co-Pilot, giving you basically double modifiers every time you can take an action. Every time you take a focus action. So, wow. First thing I want to say is this Han is definitely too expensive. Even with using the three shields from the Pioneer and having 12 health himself, he's not going to be, in my opinion, very defensive. And you're going to quickly lose that formation of Ahav and Sivor that I'm imagining anyways. But maybe do split them up. I would preferably dock it. So let's see. The suggestion I have is that Han needs to be much cheaper. And you can actually, once you start dropping things like that shield, basically everything extra, Perceptive, Hotshot, Shield, Proton, Lando, drop everything off of it. Also drop that shield upgrade off of the Pioneer. I do love Tobias Beckett. I think that makes sense. That gives you 44 points, which could be a lot of things. To be, yep, do it. You're in the right mind. Get that third mining guild tie in there. And get him with a Trick Shot as well. So maybe just, go with the Surveyor is fine. Surveyor, Trick Shot. Yeah. So now that creates a mini swarm, in my opinion. So you don't need to keep the Pioneer docked. You have it riding with the smaller mini swarm. Then with your 17 points, I personally am in love with Kira Crew. You can target lock a obstacle, and then you ignore it, which is fantastic. And then 15 points is a tough one. I reach for the gunner slot. Personally... Probably, I like that. I like where he's going with the hotshot gunner there. So I think that's a good call. And because Han's initiative 6, you can actually strip people's tokens for offense pretty effectively. So they can't shoot at your ships anymore. And this is where I think it becomes tough. And you have, I personally love cargo chutes, but I think you could get by with like an engine upgrade on Han as well. Still give you a point for a bid there. I just think that Han isn't going to be defensive enough. I did like what he originally was, being able to fly it to the T, being so restricted to that focus action every single round is going to make it very difficult to fly between the rocks or what do I say? Move your turn your arc boost. So you want to have that a little bit more open.
All right.
About what do you think of this squad now, Jim?
Well, I think you've accomplished what you were trying to do, right? You were trying to make Han cheaper, and you got more guns. Seems better. Seems better. All right. That was fun. So I want to try to do one of those every week, and I'm going to go ahead and close out with our next thing here, and that is oops, I'm on the wrong screen. Where do I need to be? There it is. Our question of the week comes from – I'm going to be completely honest here. So I copied and pasted this question, and I could not I copied and pasted, and I forgot to copy the person's name who sent this question to me. And I was looking today through, like, my emails and my Facebook Messenger and my Twitch Whisper. Like, I was going all over the place and could not find who this was. So I'm sorry, person, but I will read your question because I think it's a really good one. And it's his here. With the relative newness of 2.0, what do you think is the most accessible faction for a new player to start with, get into, and be successful with both casually and at the competitive level? So my initial reaction is Scum. And the reason being is that every ship in the initial waves currently has some type of top-tier meta. Is it part of a top-tier meta list in both extended and hyperspace? Like, you have Boba Fett, you have Fen Rao, you have Seavor, you have both the top Falcons are good, Han and Lando. You got the escape craft coordinating things. I think just like right out the gate, I think Scum is probably the best. To be completely honest, that's where I jumped to right away. Now, one of the things. Whenever people ask me questions like, well, you know, how do you think this will balance in both casual and competitive? I honestly think if you go into asking a question like that, you're asking about two completely different things. Because my question would be to you, are you playing casual or competitive? Like, you can have a casual mindset, but you might, like, I don't think you can have a casual mindset, but if you're building for competitive, you are playing competitive. Like, I have a good time, and you know, I'm joking around. You guys have seen the league night streams. Like, we're having a good time, but we're playing competitive lists. Like, I'm trying to win every game I play. So of course, person who asked this question, I would make, like, you got to make sure you have your mind kind of straight and understand what is it that you're actually looking for. Whether that mean, are you planning on playing competitive or casual? If I want to try to dig for an answer there on the casual side, you do have lots of options in the generics. And if you're just trying to build squads for funsies, you know, you take, you know, one ship of each and you put something together. You can do that with any faction. That's what I would do. So hopefully that helps you. And hopefully you hear this answer somewhere. But I think that was a fantastic question. And in the future, I will make sure to copy people's names down. I'm so sorry. I've had that question for a couple weeks and have been saving it for today. So, yeah, fantastic. All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me. Steven, you did a fantastic job.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for having me on tonight. This was a lot of fun. I love looking at all the Republic ships.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm a fan. And you had a pretty cool sweater on, too.
Yeah, felt like I had to wrap the Gold Squadron podcast. I love this hoodie. It's so nice.
I'm glad you like it. Any shout-outs you want to give?
Really, I want to give a shout-out to all the guys that are in my local area. To Donald, Alan, Cameron, and Nick Gaston, who have helped so much with putting our event together. It's been a ton of work, and we still have a lot more to do, but you know, they've been vital in helping it out, and just Northern Nevada X-Wing in general, you know.
Yeah,
I love that group. It's they're all so great, and we have a lot of fun. So yeah,
fantastic. Will, any shout outs you need to give?
Just to Luke Carrington. I really, man, he's those chips have begun looking sharp,
hot, looking so good.
I can very much tell is doing labors of love there, because he's not just throwing paint on it or whatever, but he's actively trying to improve his own skills, and I think you can really see it. Each one of his ships just has slightly more detail every time I see a new repaint from. So big shout out to him. It seems that the paint cast is going pretty successfully as well.
Yeah. I'm super excited about it. Like, you know, when I was in initial like planning for this, and I was like, yeah, the ships, you know, the ships will be prize support. But part of me, I was like, man, I really just want the ships myself, but I can't do that. So, I'm like, I want cool painted ships.
All right, Luke, double time now, 4 days a week. Paid him for us too. Come on.
So he finished that U-wing in one day, which looks absolutely fantastic. And he's going to be finishing the Houndstooth today's Monday. On Thursday, he had a couple of scheduling things, and we're going to get Skippy on the side of that trend. I'm so excited to see Skippy on there. And yes, people, fans of Gold Squadron Podcast, I have not forgotten. I'm working on the rules for our Skippy upgrade card contest. Super excited about that. And we're going to design it, and we're going to get it printed, and people are going to have it in their hands. Skippy is officially the astromech of the Gold Squadron Podcast, and don't you forget it. Though, quick side note, someone today on the Skippy the Force Ghost video on YouTube, somebody who's very much like, well, Dion, according to the Star Wars canon, this actually didn't happen. You know, when a pretty long paragraph. Love you, man. Thank you for watching. I just got a kick out of it. I was like, I read it. And I was like, okay. Yeah, I still love Skippy. It's fine.
So wait. So he's not Legends?
So he's his explanation was, and I wasn't aware of this, and that's fine. So he's part of Legends, right? But even when that was published, the scope of the writer was like someone who had heard like folk tales. So Skippy was a folk tales in the folk tales of Star Wars, because Legends are like now folk tales now, right?
Okay.
It was a folk tale within. It's a folk taleception. Right, so it folds in on itself, which makes Skippy even better. I think that just make unlimited power is what I'm saying. So I want to thank everybody who was listening today and watching at home. You guys are fantastic. Make sure you watch all of our live events on Twitch. We're streaming 4 days a week, and there's more coming. So make sure you stay tuned. Make sure to follow, hit that Twitch Prime every 30 days, hit that subscribe button on our YouTube channel. We're on our way to 7,000 subs. We hit 6,000. I want 7 now. I think we're at like 6,100, pretty close as of right now. Anybody is able to join our Discord community. It's not just for patrons. It's for absolutely anybody. Now, patrons, you do have some perks. You got your own rooms there where you can interact a little bit more with us here on the podcast, but anybody can join. And if you're watching live, go ahead, type !! Discord. You'll get the invite there. Click it, join, talk to us. We have a post for the paint cast and all kinds of things there, discussions, and just talking about X-Wing, having a good time. And lastly, but most importantly, if you enjoy the content and you want to get awesome swag while supporting Gold Squadron Podcast, go to patreon.com/goldsquadron. And if you're a current patron and you haven't updated, please update. I want to send you that all the stuff, that frosty plastic Poe and upgrade cards and that super cool Maul and the updated quick draw Kylo and Finch Dallo. Like, I want to get you the stuff, but you got to upgrade. You have to, it's not even upgrade. It's update. You're not paying any more money. You're just, you have to just click a button again. That's it. Anyway, thank you, everybody. My name's Dion Morales. For Steven and for Will, Gold Squadron.